Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello and welcome back to EASD TV. Now, we're talking work-life balance. Now, work-life balance was something that the Early Career Academy wanted particularly to have discussed at the EASD. So I have the two people with me who were on the spotlight stage discussing this amongst themselves and with the audience. And I imagine that you had quite a lively conversation. So let me introduce them to you. Anna Crook from the Karolinska in Sweden and Benoit Gauthier from...
Sevilla.
From the Institute of Andalusian Center for Molecular Biology and Regenerative Medicine, Ministry of Health of Andalusia.
What a fabulous title.
Long title. Short cabimère.
So let's talk about work-life balance for early career academics. What are the big problems, first of all?
Well, Vivian, I think that's exactly when the crunch time is, because you are desperately trying to get that grant so that you can get your lab going. You may have young children at home, which demand a lot of your time, and maybe you have to establish yourself teaching. So that's when the crunch time really is.
And you have a partner who demands that you spend time with the children and that you share the load at home with chores or whatever it is. So, and then you have all your PhD students who want your time, and you've got to supervise and look after them and make sure that you push them out of the nest at the right time and then recruit more. And, you know, there are people like me saying you've got to do public engagement. And so there are a huge number of pressures on early career academics.
Well, I think you touch a very important point with the partner. And I think this is a very important point where you have to also select a partner that is compatible with the lifestyle that you have, indeed, because your partner is very important, especially early on like that in your career. Like you say, you have to establish your lab, you have teaching, grant writing, and you have to share this. And the partnership is very important.
But I can hear people shrieking as they're watching this, saying, but I didn't much get a chance. I didn't get the opportunity to pick my partner. In that sense, people come to this with partners already in tow.
I would then say that there's another really important partner or partners, and that is the people around you, your peers. Yeah. The way that I survived that stage in my life was really that I had fantastic teamwork around me. I had older, more established scientists who really helped and who supported me when I had to be home with young children. And made it more fun.
Yeah. So the concept of a good mentor, I agree, is very important. I also had the opportunity, because I'm Canadian, I moved to Geneva, and in Geneva, at the University of Geneva, I had a mentor that was fantastic, that supported the work, and also understood that we have families, that I had a family and two children. So that's very important. There's two partnerships here. The private life and the work-life balance.
So I always remember interviewing Janni Nussle-Volhard, who was the German Nobel Prize winner. And she used her Nobel Prize funds to set up bursaries for cleaners and nannies for her postdocs. And actually, that's the thing, I guess, in helping, is that it's okay to feel that you can't cope with some stuff and you need to delegate.
What a wonderful thing she did.
Yeah.
Now, and I think delegation is important. I think maybe it's at that time in your career that you also learn to prioritize. And that can really help a lot, to actually realize that maybe you don't have to have the perfect final sentence before you submit the paper.
What other points came up from your audience?
Well, I think they asked us for some more specific advice as to, I made the statement, like, prioritize, pick what you really want to do. And then they said, okay, well, what should I do? And what shouldn't I do? And I guess the thing is that as scientists, what you need to do is you need to write that grant and you do need to publish. But there are a few other more housekeeping things. Maybe you don't need to be responsible for the teaching just then. And that we should.
But lots of people have their universities shrieking at them saying, we want you to do teaching.
Yes.
And then that's a whole load of drama on top of that.
But I think I agree there should be some amount of teaching, because I think this is the first step, teaching the young ones how to deal also with PhD student or postdoc. But it should be, in Spain, it's a heavy load, and other probably other countries also. But it's true that, yes, we should reduce that. One of the questions that came up to me, which was kind of funny, because I'm very passionate, like Anna, about my work, okay? And I was telling the student, well, you know, I prioritize, I also, you know, efficient timing, so I get up early in the morning to write my grant because I still have two young children. I have four kids, but two of them are very young. And so I get up early in the morning, Saturday, Sunday, I work 5 to 10, and then I spend the rest of the time. And then the question was like, yeah, but how do your student feel about the fact that you work so hard and you tell them to, you know? And I said, well, that was not my point. My point was that, and they don't need to know that. The point is that it is you who decides, okay? And you prioritize. And the message I got is that the pressure that we put on is sometimes we have to be careful. And it is interesting.
Now, I have seen a phenomenon where you have people who complain about work-life balance, quite rightly, and then when they become supervisors themselves, turn into tyrants. How do people stop doing that?
I hope it's not our case.
I guess the onus is on us not to turn into tyrants and actually remember what it was like.
Yeah.
And I'd like to turn it around and say that in some way, being a scientist also has possibilities. There are opportunities in that you can do a lot of the writing, thinking, not in the lab when you do become a PI. And one should use that, and you want to use it well. And now we have more technology. We know how to use Teams. We know how to use Zoom meetings. And you can review your papers and rewrite. You can do them after the kids have gone to bed when they are small. And in the end, I think scientists are a special breed.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, should you be thinking about your work on a Sunday? I always do that. I always think about, and that's when I do my best thinking, is when I don't have loads of people coming.
I do gardening and laundry. That's the thing.
No, we do that too, but we think about it also. I was mentioning also at night I go to bed and suddenly, oh, I get up, I will write my ideas and I go back to bed or in the shower.
I bet you're a popular boy.
No, that's after.
But you can have your absolutely best research ideas while folding laundry. It's very therapeutic. Yeah. And does that mean that I don't have work-life balance? Yeah. Maybe it does mean that, you know, because I'm still thinking about my work, but it also means that I get paid to do something that I really, really enjoy. And I think that's, in research, that's
so I think some of the things that you have to think about is that you have to think about, as I say, as you graduate up to PI, is you have to think about, for instance, scheduling meetings not at times when people need to go and pick up kids.
No, absolutely.
I mean, that's a really important thing.
No, you're absolutely right. But now, in my case, and most likely, for example, I used to schedule a meeting at 9 in the morning, and two of my postdoc came to see me and said, Benoit, we have to drop the kids by 9:30. Is it okay that we put it at 10? No problem. And I think this is something we talked about also. Communication is important. For the young ones to discuss with their mentor or their professor saying, hey, I cannot do that. And it is our responsibility to say, okay, fine. Not when, like we were in our time where, well, doesn't matter, the meeting's at 9. Or I even had a mentor Saturday morning, okay? So what's the use of that? Like you were saying, tyrant. What's the use of that, okay?
Power and control.
Yeah. And it is hard, however, as now as we are PI, the amount of pressure for writing grants, for papers, so yes, we become tyrant, not willingly, but we know that if we don't do that, their success may also be, jeopardized.
I think I'm hearing an excuse for being a tyrant.
No, but you have to think about it and say, don't be a tyrant. But sometimes it's not easy. You can snap. And it's also important to say, I'm sorry, I snap, but it's, you know, and then you discuss. Discussion, open line of communication is so important, okay?
Okay, let's close this with three tips from each of you as to getting a better work-life balance. Let's start with you, Anna.
Have a good supportive team around you. to do the science. Learn how to prioritize and learn how to delegate.
Yeah, well, she took the words right out of my mouth.
You got to find new ones.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest for me is being passionate about being a researcher. And with that passion, the life will come automatically because you will prioritize and you will say, and also I'm sorry to say, a good partner, like you say, you don't select your partner sometimes. Yes, I'm divorced.
We're getting it all now.
Yeah.
This is actually turning into an agony session.
So there you go. But my partner now, we're very compatible and we enjoy. And do not be afraid to discuss with your supervisor. Okay.
When I was preparing for the session that we had yesterday, I talked to a lot of my friends and colleagues, and I got a really good quote from one person who said that really work-life balance isn't the discussion. There is no work-life balance. There is only life.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that you live it on all fronts, both work, home, hobbies.
Yeah.
I'd say, having mentored lots of early career academics, that do one thing that you makes you feel in control of your life. Because I think one of the things about work-life balance is that if you feel totally out of control and everything is on top of you, try and find one thing where you're in total control. So if I'm feeling out of control, I go into a big store in London and I buy plastic boxes that I can organize my cupboards with, because that makes me in control of my cupboards. It's a small thing, but it helps. There you go.
Yeah. I do sports to get my, you know, when I feel like I'm at one point, sometimes I feel like, oh my God, there's too much. I do sports and that clears my mind. And that's what I do.
Anna?
I guess you're right. It's doing something that completely absorbs you and you don't think of anything else.
I'll have to
try your plastic cupboard trick. My cupboards need that.
There's nothing so satisfying as sorting out your cupboards. Right. And on that, thank you very much to both of you. And to the early career academics who suggested this as a topic, good on you. It's a really, really good topic. And it's something that we need to discuss a lot more.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at easd.org.